And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit here, obviously, is talking about the Holy Spirit. And there are few subjects which capture the attention and interest of people as much as the Holy Spirit. And anything that is connected with the Holy Spirit, people sit up and take notice. And quite often, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, if we're not careful, if we depart from the text of Scripture and let subjective feelings and emotions control us, we'll reach some conclusions about the Holy Spirit that are not in harmony with the text of Scripture. And so I want to consider for a few moments this morning something about this matter of being filled with the Spirit. And just simply ask the question, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? One of the first things I want to suggest to you is that this phrase in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, is a command to be obeyed. Let me repeat that. It is a command to be obeyed. Just like arise and be baptized, that is a command. Being baptized is not something that is passive. Being baptized is not something where I just sit back and wait for something to happen. No, I'm active in being baptized. It's up to me to either obey or disobey that command. You've got the same exact thing here. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a passive thing. It's not something that I just sit back and wait for some whatever thing that's very emotional and to happen to me. No. Being filled with the Spirit is something in which I participate. I initiate it. I'm active in being filled with the Spirit. We'll have more to say along those lines as we progress in our study, but just at the outset, be filled with the Spirit is a command. I obey or disobey that command. It's up to me. Being filled with the Spirit is something that's not passive. It's something in which I am active. Was this something for the first century Christians? Was this a first century phenomenon, being filled with the Spirit? Or can we be filled with the Spirit today? Was this something just for the Ephesians? Well, the answer to that question and other questions about being filled with the Spirit, as I've already suggested, the answer is not arrived at subjectively. You don't answer that question with, well, here's how I feel. Answering a question like this that begins with, here's how I feel, normally will take you down the wrong road. Because how you feel, how you feel, how you feel, all kind of answers to that. We all feel differently. There is one answer to this question. And it's based upon objective considerations, not subjective feelings. Let's begin to look for an answer, one that is biblically based, one that is objective, not subjective. Whenever we consider this matter of being filled with the Spirit. Let's look first of all at what does it mean to be filled with anything in Scripture. Just that phrase, to be filled with. Acts 5 and verse 3. Peter said, "At last, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land?" Satan had filled the heart of Ananias. Is this a literal filling of some quantity? James chapter 3 and verse 8. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Now, is James saying here that our tongue, that thing in my mouth, is he talking about the literal tongue, and is he saying that that literal tongue is literally filled with literal deadly poison? Is that the point? Is that it? And in 2 Peter 2 and verse 14, Peter describes people who have eyes that are full of adultery, that never cease from sin. Literal eyes, these things, that are literally filled with literal adultery. Is that where we're going with these three verses when the writers and the speakers talk about being full of? Let me suggest something to you. To be filled with whatever is a figurative term. Nothing literal about this. It is a figurative term. And this figurative term, to be filled with, means to be led, influenced, and controlled by. That's very, very important at the very beginning. To be filled with something in contexts such as these from Acts, James, and 2 Peter, and some others that we'll look at, is a figurative expression describing being led by, being controlled by, being influenced by. Satan had filled the heart of Ananias. He was influencing Ananias. Ananias was being led by the devil. The tongue can be a deadly poison. The manner in which we speak can be, as it were, full of deadly poison, causing a great deal of harm. And eyes full of adultery just means a mind that is influenced by things that are sexually inappropriate, to be led by or to be controlled by. Let's look at some other passages. Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 27. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." Figurative language here, in which Jesus is comparing the scribes and the Pharisees to a cup or a dish. And in the second verse, comparing them to tombs. And he's saying that in both cases, you are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You are full of dead men's bones. That is, you are characterized by, you are influenced by things that are unrighteous. Robbery, self-indulgence. Your character is being formed by that, is being influenced by those things. Inside of you, your character is just like what's inside of a tomb. Things that are rotten and things that are impure. But in neither case is Jesus saying that they were literally inside their body full of these things. But talking about their character because of what they were allowing themselves to be led by and influenced by. Romans 15, verse 14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Figuratively telling the Romans that they were being controlled by goodness. They were being influenced and led by what is good. And they were filled, that is, they were controlled by. We'll talk more about this in the latter part of our study this morning. They were filled with knowledge. That is, they were controlled by a certain kind of knowledge. We'll explain what that is as we progress. Romans 1:29 and in Philippians 1:11. Filled with unrighteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Two different kinds of being filled up. What did Paul mean in both of these verses? It just simply means, on the one hand, there were people who were filled or controlled by unrighteousness, things that were bad. And when he wrote to the Philippians, he talked about those who were filled with the fruit of what was righteous. That is, they were controlled by righteous things, as contrasted with those who were influenced by unrighteous things. To be filled with something in Scripture is a figurative way of saying you're being controlled and led by and influenced by these things. So, Acts 13, verse 45. Being filled with jealousy, controlled by jealousy. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 4. Filled with comfort. I am characterized by, I am controlled by a comfort, a source of comfort. Figurative, figurative, figurative. Talking about what controls us, what leads us, what influences us. Okay. Now, if we can understand in all of those passages that Paul was speaking figuratively, and he was using the phrase filled with in a figurative way to describe how we can be led by and controlled by and influenced by things. If that's figurative in those passages, then what changes when we come to passages which talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Why all of a sudden does it become literal? Why all of a sudden do we think in terms of literally the Holy Spirit coming inside us? Something that the Scriptures simply do not teach. Let's take a look. Luke 1. Verses 41 and 42. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptizer, heard Mary, who was the mother-to-be of Jesus. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit come inside of her? What, really? She was filled with the Spirit and the Holy Spirit came inside of her? No. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now notice, and she cried out with a loud voice and then said some wonderful things. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? she was being controlled and led by. She was being influenced by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit came inside of her, got inside of her in some way. That's to be filled with, remember, is figurative, not literal. Luke 1:67. And his father, Zacharias, this is John, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Now notice in both of these cases, being filled with the Spirit resulted in the people that were being filled by the Holy Spirit doing something. In both of these cases, they were saying something as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. In both of these cases, we're talking about two people, a man and a woman, that had allowed themselves to be influenced and led by the Holy Spirit, and as a result of that, they did some things that were an outgrowth of that leading and of that influence. Acts 2:4. And they, the apostles, not everybody on that occasion, the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. The apostles were being influenced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not come and literally fill up all of those men. They were simply being led by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. They were allowing themselves to be thus controlled and thus led. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together, this is talking about early disciples, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the Word of God. The disciples here had allowed themselves to be influenced, to be led by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, as we'll see later. And as a result of that influence, of that leading of the Holy Spirit, they began to speak the Word of God. Acts 11:23-24. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, this is Barnabas, he rejoiced and began to encourage them. Now, how did he begin to, and why did he begin to encourage them? He began to encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For, now here's the reason that he encouraged them. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Why was he able to encourage these brethren? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was a man who allowed himself to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit. He was a godly man, a spiritually minded man. And therefore, he subjected himself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, he began to encourage people. Acts 13:9, we find a man named Elymas, who was a sorcerer. And he was trying to prevent the work that Saul was doing, later Paul. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him, on Elymas, and then Saul unloaded on Elymas and rebuked him for what he was doing. And the reason Paul did that was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was leading him, influencing him. And that's why Paul did what he did. Now, in these passages, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, remember, as with those other passages at the outset of our study, is a figurative term, meaning to be led, influenced, controlled by the Holy Spirit. These passages are not talking about Holy Spirit baptism. These passages are not talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is something different. It's not necessarily, except in Acts 2, talking about speaking in tongues. It can refer to that, but not always. Look at the context. And being filled with the Holy Spirit was not some emotional state in which a person felt themselves very subjectively and emotionally all caught up in something. Every passage that we've looked at, very objective, very controlled, and it was totally up to the people that were filled with the Holy Spirit as to whether or not they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember our text. Be filled. That's a command. That's something I'm active in. It is not something that I just passively sit back and say, oh, Holy Spirit, fill me up, or something like that. That's not found in any of those passages that we've looked at or any other passages. Let me look at a couple of passages here. One we've already looked at, Ephesians 5. Ephesians and Colossians are two letters that Paul wrote at the same time. Ephesians and Colossians are a part of what we call the prison epistles. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And a lot of the things, especially in Ephesians and Colossians, that you see in one letter, you see it in the other one. It's just different terminology. He's saying the same things, except he's saying it in different words. And so when you come to the Colossian letter, Paul said, in all wisdom, he talked to the Colossian Christians, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. So the Colossians were to teach and to admonish with songs and hymns and singing. Very clear. Not hard to understand that. But you know, when I go to the Ephesian letter, written at the same time, Paul said to the Ephesians the very same thing he said to the Colossians. He just elaborated upon them and used different terminology. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And he goes on, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. Now, what's different between what Paul said to the Ephesians and said to the Colossians here? Not a bit of difference. Just two different ways of saying the same thing about talking to one another, speaking to one another through singing. A question comes up. How were the Colossians to do this? What was the basis of the Colossians in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another and so forth? How did they do that? Go back to Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now there's another figurative expression. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Is he saying here that the words of Christ were to get in our bodies? Is that it? Dwell in and be filled with are both figurative expressions. We've seen that be filled with means to be led by, to be controlled by, to be influenced by. To dwell in is the same thing. It's just a different figurative expression to teach the same lesson. Both of these, to be filled by, to be led by, To dwell in refer to an influence. Let the word of Christ influence you. You be controlled by the words that come from Christ. It's not talking about the words of Christ getting inside of you. We'll see this in just a moment. And then when I go to the Ephesian letter, like we did with the latter part of both of these sections of Scripture, look what we read. Be filled with the Spirit. What's the difference between being filled with the Spirit and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly? There's none. Two different ways of saying the same thing. As in the latter part of these passages, Paul said the same thing in two different ways. So with the first part of these passages, two different ways of saying the same thing. To be filled with the Spirit, to be led, influenced, controlled by the Spirit means to be led, controlled, and influenced by the words of Christ. Can I prove that even further? Can I make that clearer even further than this? Go to the Old Testament. I hope I don't have to explain the fact that what I'm about to read is highly, highly figurative. Ezekiel said, God spoke to me. He spoke to me. That's God. The Spirit entered me. Did the Spirit in some woo way just woo? Is that it? The Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard Him speaking. It is in that way that the Spirit entered me. I heard Him speaking and I did what He said. This is not some subjective thing that causes sweat to break out and feel funny. No. I heard Him speaking, Ezekiel said. That's the same thing as the Spirit entering me. I keep reading. Ezekiel was told, open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you. Oh, lunch? We're fixing to eat? Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you. So Ezekiel said, then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. Both sides, coming some kind of a rod. You can undo the scroll and read it. You can close it up. And in the hand was the scroll. And when he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and the back. And written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. So here's what we would call today a Bible. The Bible. And chapter 3, these thoughts continue. Same context. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll. Really? Eat this scroll? Do you think that Ezekiel thought at some point that I've got to open my mouth and take this scroll and somehow get this scroll inside my mouth and swallow it? Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth. Do you really think Ezekiel opened his mouth expecting for that scroll to be stuck down his throat? So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll, which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey to my mouth. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. If we try to literalize any of this, we're going to wind up so far out in left field, it's not even humorous. What is Ezekiel being told here? God's saying, I've got a message for you, and I want you to take this message, and I want you to go to the house of Israel and speak it. But first of all, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to open your mouth. Open your mind so I can feed you, so I can teach you the words on the scroll. That's all he's saying. But he uses highly, highly figurative language to say, I want you to open your mind. I want you to be receptive. Because there's some things I want to teach you. And I want you to consume, as it were, these things. And as a result of assimilating my words into your mind, understanding them, I want you to go teach it. Not a thing subjective about that. Not a thing in the world. It's simply Ezekiel allowing himself to have the Spirit come into him. How? By listening to the Spirit. And in that way, the Spirit entered Ezekiel. Nothing emotional and subjective about it. That's just the process of learning the Word of God. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 is a command to be obeyed, just like Ezekiel had a command to be obeyed. Open your mind, okay? Because there are some things that I want you to learn, some things you need to be taught, some things that need to influence everything that you do. And when I do that, when I open my mind, as Ezekiel figuratively opened his mouth, as I allow the words of Christ to come into my mind, I understand them. That was Ezekiel getting all of the scroll down into his stomach and his body. Then I go do what the words that I've been filled with and understand tell me to do and tell me to teach. And that's being filled with the Spirit. Question, I guess, that we need to conclude with is, have you obeyed this command? Now, don't sit back and wait for the Spirit to do so, because it's not going to happen. Some experience is not going to come upon you to... No. This is something that you and I have to do. We have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to obey this command. How? By doing what Ezekiel did. And what the Colossians did. The words of the Lord. We need to be receptive to them. We need to be controlled and led by the words that come from the Holy Spirit and obey them. And in that way, and in no other, are we being led by the Spirit. So, are you being led by the Spirit? Have you obeyed that command? To do whatever it is that the Holy Spirit, through God's Word, tells you to do. Have you done that? As we sing a song in just a moment, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, you think about what the Lord did for you and the sacrifice that He paid. And then as you think about that, be really led by the Holy Spirit. Let the words of Christ dwell in you and allow them to move you to whatever obedience you need to render to God. You think about that while we stand and sing.